The Apostle Paul was such a faithful preacher and friend to these, all of God's people. It's a blessed privilege to have a man who faithfully proclaims the gospel to you and be faithful. He's not in it for his own name's sake or what he can get out of you, but loves you and wants to tell you the truth. I had such a man, still do, faithful preacher and pastor who has faithfully told me the truth so long. I've said before that it's one thing to love to preach, but it's quite another to love those to whom you preach. There's plenty of preachers out there, so-called. This was a man, the Apostle Paul was a man who faithfully, constantly declared the gospel. He said in verse 20, look at it, verse 20, he said, I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Kept back nothing profitable unto you. All scriptures, he told young Timothy, are given by inspiration of God and are profitable. All scriptures are profitable. Whatever God's word says, that's what God's preacher says. He's just a messenger sent to declare whatever God says. If God's word says election, then he hollers election. If God's word says predestination, then he preaches it just as strongly. Whatever God says, that's what that man said. That's what the Apostle Paul did. At times he would say things and do things that people might be offended by. And they were. And he said, in one place, he said, am I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. He's telling you the truth. The truth is never our enemy. It's our best friend. Truth sets you free. Truth will deliver you from error. Truth. Paul was a faithful man that always proclaimed the truth. And he said this, verse 21. He said, I've testified, Jews and Greeks, wherever I go, he said, this is what I preach. Verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God. Do you ever hear the word repentance even used anymore in preaching? Gone out the wind, isn't it, Brother Ed? If anything, if there ever was a missing note in today's preaching, this is it. I know why. Why, if God loves everybody, nobody's got anything to worry about and repent of, right? If God loves everybody, why repent? Huh? Repentance toward God. See, the first thing a faithful preacher comes preaching is a just God. A just God. Isaiah 45:22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me, God says, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, there's none else. A just God. That's the first description God uses about himself. He says, I'm a just God and a Savior. You don't get the cart before the horse. You don't talk about God loving and God Christ dying and God being a Savior before you talk about the just God. You see that? Because nobody's going to repent to a Savior. But they're going to repent before a just God. You understand? When we see God as holy, we sang that song a while ago. Number 70, holy, holy, holy. That's the character of God used in Scripture more than any other. It's not like that Seventh-day Adventist fella said that love is his chief characteristic. That's not it. No. It's holiness. Holy, holy, holy. A just God and Savior. A just God. The Scripture says this more than once. Listen to me. The Scripture says this in Exodus 34. And it's quoted in the New Testament, God will by no means clear the guilty. That means He's just God. Justice. He said, I will by no means clear the guilty. God doesn't forgive sins. He punishes them. Listen, I'm telling you something very, very important. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm not going to take it for granted everybody in here understands what I'm saying. I said this over and over again, and I'm losing some of you already, but I've got to declare that God is holy. God is just. The reason we don't know anything about justice today is because our legal system has no justice. A man could commit murder and be caught red-handed, and they convict him, so you're sentenced to life in prison. He might serve 7 years. That's not justice. God says the soul that sinneth will surely die, didn't it? He will by no means clear the guilty. We won't do it. And the Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person in here is worthy of, you know what we're worthy of? You know what we've earned? No matter how moral you are, no matter how good a mother, a grandmother, this is what God's saying. The soul that sinneth must surely die. God is angry with the wicked. See, I'm not wicked. Yes, you are, before this holy God who sees the thoughts. God looketh not as man looketh. God seeth not as man seeth. God looketh. God's looking at the motive, the intents, the thoughts of the heart. And God is holy. Everything shall be perfect to be accepted. Shall be. Every thought must be perfect. And God says, if it not, I'm going to punish it. Holy, holy, holy. And he said, the soul that sinneth, I'm going to kill it. Right? A just God. He said, every sin shall receive a just recompense of reward. He's a just God. He's holy. He's just. Now, that ought to make everyone here guilty. Repent toward God. God, forget, Lord, have and say this. It ought to make everyone say this. God, I'm guilty. Be merciful unto me. I've sinned. But it's missing today, isn't it? Nobody's. And it ought to bring the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's no fear of God today because they're talking about God being all love. God is love to those that He grants repentance to. And that's what Paul said, I'd go everywhere preaching, and so did the prophets. Every prophet in the Old Testament went preaching, repent. What did Jonah preach? Repent. What did Isaiah preach? Woe is unto you. No prophet ever went out into the world preaching, God loves you. Christ died for you. Not one. Never. No apostle ever went out preaching that. Find me a sermon by one apostle where he ever said in his opening remark, God loves you and Christ died for you. Won't you let him into your heart? Never. The Son of God came preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his first message out of his mouth? What was it? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The King's standing here. The Holy God's standing here. Bow down. Repent. So Paul says repentance toward God. All right? Now if you see God as holy, just, who will by no means clear the guilty, you know what that'll bring a man to do? By the goodness of God. It'll make him repent. And then you know what else? Everybody that really repents toward this God, God be merciful to me, the sinner. God have mercy on me. God, I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving. Lord, please forgive this old sinner. You know what that'll cause him to do? You know what God will do first? He'll point him to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're guilty, aren't you? Yes. You deserve hell, don't you? Yes. Look at Christ. He wasn't guilty. He lived a perfect life. And he gives that to all that need it. And he went to the cross and bore some people's sins. He took the wrath of God, the justice of God. God poured out his justice. He killed Jesus Christ. If you look to him, he did that for you. Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He did that for you. Paul says that's the twofold message I bring. That's the sum and substance of the gospel, isn't it? God's holy. We're sinful. Better look to Christ. Christ alone. Now, when you look to something, everybody look at that window right there. I want you to do that. Look at that window. Now, are you looking at it? I am. Are you looking to that window? You're not looking anywhere else? You're looking at that window. Don't look anywhere else. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Look at that window. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look to that window. Look to that window. Are you looking at it? That's what it means to look to Christ. Now look at me. That's what it means to look to Christ. Don't look at the right hand. Don't look at your work. Don't look at the past, back at what you've done. Don't look at the preacher. Look to Christ. He's the light. Of the work. He's the light. He's the Savior. He's the only one that can. Don't look to, well, I got to do this. I got to clean up my life. Don't do that. Don't clean. He doesn't want you to clean it up. About like my, well, let me give somebody else. Somebody's very meticulous about cleaning, you know. If it's going to be clean and they want it done right, they want to do it themselves. Open mouth, insert foot. Right? If you want something done to yourself, done right, what do? You do it yourself. I confess to being guilty, but I don't always do it right, do it, Rick. Sometimes I want something done right, I get Rick to do it. The Lord does all things perfectly. There is no other way. Christ says, look unto me and be ye saved. Don't look to the right, don't look to me. And be, you say, I'm just God. And God can be just and yet justify the ungodly because Christ died. Who is he that condemned it? Huh? Christ died. God's just. And yet the justifier of all them that believe in Christ. How? Their sins are paid for. God can be just. God can be holy. God can be, God must punish sin, people. He must. And be God. So Paul says, I preach repentance toward God, and repentance to God, not to the priest. You don't sit in some little booth and confess to some man who's more wicked than you are. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You with me? All right. Paul said, I've preached that. Verse 24, and all this is, verse 24, look at the last line, is the gospel of the grace of God. That's what this is. The gospel of the grace of God. how God gives repentance, how God gives faith, how God gave His Son to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel's grace, grace, grace. Verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What is all the counsel of God? The whole counsel of God to you, old sinner, is the gospel of the grace of God. That's all God's got to say to an old sinner, isn't it? He's not going to discuss astrology with us and all this other junk. He's got one thing to say. Bow down and repent. Trust my Son. That's it. Trust my Son. And that's what Paul faithfully preached. That's what he faithfully preached. And now he's leaving this people, all right? He's leaving these people that he'd been with for a long time, and you're never going to see them again. And he's going to say something to them as he's leaving. These are his parting words, his last word, Paul's parting word. You're never going to see these people again. He's got one last thing to say to them. What's he going to say? Richard Baxter said that we ought to preach like that. Richard Baxter said, an old preacher years ago, he said, I preach as one that may never preach again, as a dying man to dying men. And you don't know if you'll ever hear another sermon. Huh? Virgie was in here one Sunday morning, wasn't she? Gone the next. Well, here's what Paul says to these people in leaving them. Verse 32, he says, now, brethren, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. I commend you to God. Now, brethren, now he's talking to believers. Brothers are those who have the same Father, aren't they? Huh? I don't call all men my brother. Because we don't have the same Father. I don't call every religious nut comes along and says, hey, brother. Praise the Lord, brother. Hey, you, brother. I don't call him brother back until I find out we have the same daddy. You see, all God's people have the same Father. One Lord, one faith. They believe the same way. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope of their calling, one God, one Father that's in them all. They all believe the same way about this God. And I know if a man, don't know infallibly, but I know this, when I hear a man start talking about God and he starts talking about God trying and failing, about God who loves everybody and wishes and wants so bad to save them but can't unless they let Him, I say, that's not my God and you're not my brother. You see, all of us Mahan boys and girls talk pretty much alike. If you listen to me, I sound like my father. God's people sound like God, sound like Christ. They have the same language. Their language is the same. Scripture says Christ, grace poured from His lips, didn't it? Huh? Grace poured from His lips. What pours from the lips of an old sinner? And what's he want to talk about? What He's done for Jesus? Does he want to talk about His profession of faith? Does he want to talk about His church? Does she want to talk about a God who tries it? No, they talk about grace, sovereign grace. Talk about God. Talk about God doing things. About Christ, what He's done. Not what they've done, what He's done. They have the same speech. They have the same family resemblance. All God's people, they look like Christ. They live in the same house, Christ. They have the same head, Christ. Now, brethren, he's talking to believers. I commend you to God. I commend you to my God, Paul said. Your God. Now, If I was a preacher today, one of these average preachers today, I couldn't say this in all good conscience. If I preached like these preachers preach today, if I believed in the God that they believe in today, I couldn't say this in all good conscience. I commend you to God. Why? Well, He loves you. Well, will He save me? He might. I don't want no mites. Maybe. God wants to. He wants to. He wants to, then He will. I don't know. You'll have to let Him. Ain't that yay and nay preaching? It may be. Well, you've got to do something. I couldn't commend anybody to God like that. Henry, I wouldn't want you to commend your soul, body, and spirit to a God who might love you one day, might not love you the next, or a God who wants to save you and tries, and you don't make it someday. You just don't make it. The blood of Christ, you know, if it's shed for you, if it doesn't save you, buddy, I'm not going to commend you to it. No, we wouldn't even put one another in an automobile like that. Let me borrow your car. Okay, fine. Now, it's in good shape, isn't it? Mm. Got plenty of gas in it. Will it make it? Well, last week, I might not get there. I don't know. Thanks just the same. I'm going to find me a good car. I got a good God for you. I commend you to my God, who is God. Paul said, like Daniel's God, Nebuchadnezzar said about Daniel's God. Now, Daniel's God, he's God. All these other fools, they're God, but he ain't God. He tries no. Daniel's God now, he's God. Paul says, my God's God. I commend you to my God, in whose hands your breath is, and all your way, who wills all things. And when he wills it, it comes to pass. You want to use the word want to? Whatever God wants to, he gets. He does. Whatever God says, that's what I want, that's what he gets. God wants to save you. Bless God, you are going to be saved. I commend you to that God. Do you know him? Some of you do. I commend you to that God. I commend you to God who's in charge, who's God, who works all things after the counsel of his will and doesn't depend on man's will. No, that's only God worth trusting in, people. I commend you to a God who, when he says he loves you, you're going to be loved. And you're going to be loved to the end, and you're not going to go to hell. He's going to save you. He's going to save you. That's who I commend you to. Let me give you some good reasons for commending you to God. Number one, look there at verse 28. I commend you to God, all you believers. I commend you to God. Listen to me now. Would you stay with me a little bit? Believers, this will be comforting. I'm talking to believers now. It says there in verse 28, he says to a preacher, and boy, this is weighty for a preacher. Take heed to yourselves. Watch out for yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. And you better feed them. Don't beat them. Don't fleece them. Feed them. It's God's church, not yours. It's God's church, church of God. It's the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. See, God's people, God's sheep, God's church, they belong to him. I commend you to God. Why? He owns you. You're his anyway. You're his. He said you're not your own. Jeanette, he said you're not your own. You're bought with a price. What? Who better to take care of something than the rightful owner? Huh? I've got an automobile. Once again, I've got an automobile. Who's going to take care of that automobile more than me? I own it. I paid for it. I don't want it to break down. I'm going to take care of it, right? You parents, you have your children earn things, or ought to, instead of just buying them things. They won't take care of it that way. But if they own it, they'll take care of it, you see, or somewhat. And they realize, I got to make the payments. God made a payment for His people. What was the payment? What was the price? I can't rightly preach on it. It's too high. The price is too high. It's His Son. What if I bought something, paid for it, and it took the life of my daughter to do it? That's mine. Ain't nothing going to happen to that. I got too much invested in it. Right? I commend you to God, brethren. You trust God to save you, He'll save you. Why? The price that He paid to save you. He's not going to lose you. Told you about that old cat, you know, that we picked up one time. My daughter wanted that cat. I didn't need that cat. But she wanted that cat, so we got that cat. And like I said, several thousand dollars later, we own a cat. Now, the cat is still really of no value to me. I feed it, I water it, I clean up its everything. I still don't really need that cat, but I'm going to keep it. I hate to confess this, but I called the other day and I asked Stan, who's taking care of it, I said, how's that old cat? Called long distance. How's that old cat? See, I got a lot invested in it. It's worthless, but I got a lot invested in it. I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let anything happen to it. I commend you to God, brethren. If God sent His Son to die for you, He's going to keep you. You old cat. He's going to keep you where His possession. And secondly, here's a good reason to be commended to God. Turn over to John chapter 14. John 14. I'll try to hurry, really. I'll try to wrap this up in 45 minutes. John 14. Not 45 more minutes, but I mean 45 total. All right? John 14. Christ spoke of the Father several times. He spoke of the Father more than anybody. John 14. Look at verse 16, verse 15. Got it? John 14, 15 and 16. If you love me, keep my commandment, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Who does God love? That ought to sum it all up, shouldn't it, Rick? Shouldn't that lay to waste all this talk about God loving everybody? Who does God love?
Those that love Christ.
Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to hell. If any man love the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to glory. And trust Him, my Father will love. My Father. My Father. Verse 26. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He'll teach you. Look at chapter 16. John 16. Look at this now. Come on. John 16. Verse 15 and 16. All things that the Father hath are mine. Why? He is the Father. Well, he said, he shall take of mine and show them unto you. A little while you shall not see me. Verse 16. And again, a little while you shall see me. I go to the Father. Verse 26. Or verse 23. In that day, verse 23, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Verse 26. At that day you'll ask in my name, I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. The Father himself loveth you because you have loved me. And then in John 17, you know that glorious high priestly prayer. How does he start that out, John? His very first words were, Father, This is what I want, Dad. That's what he says. Father, I will. I will. I want something. What, son? That those that you've given me be with me where I am. I will. That they may be with us and behold my glory. I will. I will. Father, this is what I want. The son whom he always hears. This is what I want. All right, look at this. You still with me? Somebody? Look at chapter 20. Our Lord talks about the Father. The Father. And he says, my Father. Or his Father. He talks about the Father, his Father, Christ's Father, all the way through, all the way through. Then he died, was buried, and rose again. Now here he is appearing to the disciples after he rose again. John, look at this, buddy. It's going to... And ladies, feel free to shout. Verse 17, Christ said to Mary. Mary was the first one there, and he said, don't touch me. Touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, tell them I ascend unto my Father and
your Father.
Your. He is now your Father. Who? God.
Why?
Christ. Did you ever, and Paul says, I commend you to God. Why? What's the good reason? But
he's your Father.
Who's going to take care of that little girl who's sitting there on the front row, third from the end? Who's going to take care of her? What if I gave her to Stan? Now, Stan would take good care of her. Pretty good care of her. Gave her to Henry, he'd take pretty good care of her. John, they'd all take pretty good care of her.
Who's going to take the best care of her? Huh? Me. I love you. I'm going to love you from now on.
She didn't have a thing to worry about. Not a thing. But wait a minute. I'm a man. I'm a man. You want to know who my father is? Say, yeah, I know Henry Mayne. No. God is my father. He's able. He's able to keep that which I commended unto him against that. He's able. He's, I'm going to try to take care of her. God doesn't try anything. He does it. I commend you to God. He's your father in Christ. Now, has he taken care of you up to this point? Yeah, why? He's your father. Will he take care of you tomorrow? Well, yeah. Why? He's your father. Your dad, dear old dad. The Spirit has testified to our spirit and given us the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry. Don't have to just cry, oh, holy, sovereign God, though we do. We can say, Dad. Come to Him, Dad. Any old time, with any old thing, Dad, Abba. They say that word comes from a little baby. The first utterance of the word, blah, 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 trying to say Dada. Huh? Is a father going to smack his little baby around? Dada. Mm. Dearest words to a father, Abba, Dada. As soon as they say Dada, there he is, aren't they? For life. Huh? Abba, Father, I commend you to God. I commend your life to God. I commend your children to God. I commend your home and family to God. We say, but I don't know. Don't lean on the arm of the flesh.
Yeah, but I've got some decisions to make. I commend you to God. He's your Father. But it looks like I'm going to have to do something. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. My daughter's always doing that. But Daddy, but Daddy, but nothing. I'm Daddy. Stand back. I'll take care of it. She hadn't done anything up to this point. As long as I'm around, she won't have to. I'm her daddy. I commend you to God. Why? He's your Father. Believe her. Oh, but you don't know my situation. Yes, I do. Everybody has it. Everybody has the same situation. Bills to pay and this and that and the other and children and so forth. I commend you to God. Why? He's your Father. What about the Israelites? They were headed out in the wilderness. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have homes. They didn't have nothing. No food. Nothing. God says, go. Where? Just go. How? Go. What are we going to eat? Watch. What are we going to wear? Trust me. What about my children? What about my children? You are my children. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Watch me. Just stand. Didn't Christ say to his disciples, he said, now you've been with me 3 years. I told you to follow me. You've been with me 3 years now. In all these 3 years, have you lacked anything? They said, nothing, Lord. Why? He's their Father. They never will lack anything either. He says, go. Don't take coat or scrip or anything. Don't take anything. But don't. Don't take anything. Well, just a sandwich? No. You ain't gonna eat sandwiches. You gonna eat steak. Maybe. They did. Children of Israel. Oh, I commend you to God. Why? He's your Father. You're His property. You're His child. I commend you because of the enemy. Look at chapter 20 again. Look at verse, read on. He says, verse 29, after I depart, Paul said, grievous wolves shall come in. Doesn't it say that Satan is like a wolf in sheep's clothing, or his minister? Says he's like a roaring lion, isn't it? Anybody in here handle a roaring lion? Huh? He said that's what Satan's like. I know somebody can. I know a man who crushed his head. He says, of your own selves, verse 30, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples. Watch, Paul says, he says, wolves are becoming. I'm warning you. Watch. What are we going to do, Paul? Don't leave, Paul. You got a phone number I can call yet, Paul? Huh? What's your address? I'll write you. You're getting problems. Paul says, I commend you to God. You see that? Paul said, no, you got any problems, call me. No! Call on God, who is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46:1. I commend you to God. Call on God. He's your Father. Don't call a friend. Call your dad. Call your dad. See, good. Don't those good reasons be commended to God? Huh? I tell you what, it's all in that name. If I hadn't have commented on this, that's enough. It's all in that name, John. Because he said, if God be for us, who or what? If God be for us, who's God? God! Not just God, they're saying it. God, who you're breathing now because of. You're breathing right now because of. I mean, you're breathing because he says, breathe, Henry. Breathe. Your father, who owned you, paid a big price and said, I'm not going to let him go. I paid for it. Not your own. If God be for you, is he for you? He sure is. Who or what circumstance or situation or problem or trial or trouble? Paul said, we're down, but we're not forsaken. We're worried, but not too much. Why? If God be for us. Believer, I'm telling you, there's no better word you could hear except this. Look at the next thing, and to the word of his grace. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. Don't you just like the sound of that word? Huh? Isn't that a good word? Grace. Grace. It's great. It's a great word, grace. Great, because great, grace is great. It's a great word. It's a good word. It's a great word. Grace. It kind of sounds like another word, doesn't it? It's grace. Christ. Grace. Christ. These kind of sound alike, don't they? They're one and the same. The grace of God is Christ. All the grace of God is in Christ. Grace. Christ. Start to finish. It's all grace. Grace. It's his grace. Do you see that? His grace. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. His grace. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Freely bestowed. Grace. God's grace. It's his grace. It's his grace. Not mustard. It's not mustard. You remember that? Somebody said, grace they're talking about today, you might as well say mustard. Because it's something you use. See, God gives it to you, and you use it, and you improve on it. It's something, you know, however much you use it, on the hamburger of your soul. It'll save you. It'll make you sweat savory to God if you use this mustard. No, grace is not something you use, people. It's something God uses. It's something God does to you. By grace are you saved. Through faith. You see there, preacher, you got to believe. Where's that come from? Grace. Same source, isn't it, Joe? Same source. Faith. Through faith. And that's not of yourself. That's grace. Let me listen. Grace is purposing grace. God purposed to save a people. If he hadn't, nobody would be saved. He purposed to save them. Didn't have to, but he did. That's grace. God's sovereign electing grace. He chose whom he is going to be gracious to. Didn't have to be to anybody, but he did. God just chose one person to be gracious to, that one person to be singing throughout eternity. Grace. Great grace. One fellow in heaven. If God had chose one fellow in heaven, he'd been singing at the top of his lungs. Grace, 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 grace. But he chose a number of the sands of the seas and the stars of the sky. Why? God wanted to hear it a little louder. Not just one voice. I want to hear a whole bunch of y'all singing to me. I like the sound of it. Grace! Yes, that's me. Gracious, God said. Mercy. Christ. Don't you love to hear a big crowd singing? Huh? Saving grace. Saving grace. That means he saves all those he intends to save. He saves them. Calling grace. Those he predestinated, he called. It's calling grace. Repenting grace. Goodness of God. The grace of God leads a man to repent. Believing grace. He gives you faith. It's keeping grace. Keeping grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis what? Grace hath brought me safe thus far, and what? Grace will lead me home. Grace called me. Grace bought me. Grace will keep me. Grace, grace, grace. And he says this will build you up. His word will build you up, people. I'm not giving law. I never even said the word till just now. Did I? Hadn't told you anything to do, have I? Huh? It's grace. It's all grace. This will build you up. Won't tear you down. There's nobody in here who trusts Christ ought to be broke, ought to be tore down right now. Nobody in here ought to be downcast right now. I'm building you up, commending you to God, who's your Father, who's your owner, who's all-powerful. I'm commending you to the word of His grace. You see, the law says this. Law says guilty. Grace says pardoned. Not guilty. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable. That's what grace says, John. It's a good word. This will build you up. John comes in here like all sinners do, you know, kind of slumped over. John ought to be sitting up right like this here in a moment. The law says offended. You're offensive to me. God says unblameable. The law says die. Grace says live. The law says, well, look at you, would you? Grace says, look unto me. Look unto me. The law says sold unto sin. He's sold unto sin. Grace says bought back with a price. The law says unworthy. You're unworthy. Grace says he's worthy. That'll build you up. Word of his grace. Grace builds you up and give you an inheritance, it said. Give you an inheritance. Among all them that have been set apart, sanctified. All them. With all those that sanctified themselves? No. All those that God set apart for his own. And said, I'm going to be merciful to that old boy. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'm going to save that old sinner. Do you hear that word? It'll build you up. Build you up. And it'll keep you from falling. Give you inheritance. You get the glory. You get the glory, old sinner. What are you going to say? He'll say, what right you got to be in here? Say one word. Just say one word. Grace. Oh, Christ. One word. You know what's going to happen if you did? Come on in. Come on in. Yeah, that's it. We went up to an amusement park Friday night before we drove home with the kids. And to get in that park, they stamped me. Everywhere I went, I was free. Go in anywhere, go in and out. Why? And that stamp on me. And that stamp on me. How am I going to get to glory? Got blood on me. Got blood on me. Why? You know, I didn't pay for that stamp. I didn't pay for it. Somebody said, you go up there and they'll stamp you. Go up to that woman right there and they'll stamp you. How much? Don't pay anything. It's free. Go up there and they'll stamp you. Christ says, come unto me. But I got to do this. Don't do that. Come. I'll save you. I'll save you. And that's your entrance. Free. And everything, and he that spared not his own son delivered him up for us all. How shall they not with him freely give us all things? Read that. Go home and read that to yourself. Romans 8:32. If he killed his son to save you, he's going to pay your bills. He's going to pay your bills. He paid for your sin. It took the bloody death of his son. Your light bill. That's almost ridiculous to think about it, isn't it? No. All right, Brother Joe, you have something for us to sing? 209. 209. I bet it has something to do with grace, but it's... 209. 209. Yep.
That's what I thought.
209. Stand with me. Sing the first and the last stanza.